KUSF San Francisco.
The Smithereens. Oh, you've met the Smithereens already. Well, certainly if you listen to this radio show, you've met them multiple times. Welcome to hour number one of Just Another Menace Sunday. A very special hour. I've been promoting it enough, I know that. The Smithereens. Well, they pretty much never left, but they're back big time with, as they say, the Jersey beat meets the Mercy beat. I like Jersey beat. Album called Meet the Smithereens, a very faithful, affectionate tribute in the Smithereen style to Meet the Beatles. The Smithereens played the Red Devil Lounge, all sorts of exciting things. You're going to see a high-definition version of that concert that we helped provide up on iTunes sometime soon. But the big thing is that for the next hour right here on Just Another Menace Sunday, I, Dennis the Menace, present to you an interview done in Studio C exactly a week ago with Pat DiNizio of the Smithereens. And even more fun, I have taken their, oh my gosh, they played for almost 2 hours, concert at the Red Devil Lounge and done an edit for you, about 40 minutes of straight live Smithereens, including one song that you've never heard before unless you were at the show. It is from their upcoming record that'll be coming out sometime this summer. Hour number two, of course, will have all new melodic rock and roll. This is actually going to go over an hour, no question about it. So get ready. Let's launch right into conversation with Pat D'Anizio of the Smithereens on Just Another Minute Sunday.
Something wonderful and strange happened last night when I returned from the gig at the Red Devil in San Francisco. I've been charting the progress with great curiosity and amazement and delight on Amazon.com, the sales of the new record, Meet the Smithereens. And I think it had dropped to number 400, which is still like the top 5% of everything they're selling. And when I got home after the gig, I had a nice treat. It was number 100.
Seriously?
Yeah, so it entered the top 100 again. It just keeps fluctuating. It goes down to 60, 100, 400, 300. It jumps all over the place. But thank God it means that someone is actually hearing the record or that they know about it.
I think more than a couple of people. So I guess the thing to do just for an official start, because this is, well, we are being videotaped, but this is radio. Would you identify yourself, please?
My name is Pat D'Anizio. I'm the lead singer and songwriter from the American rock and roll band, The Smithereens.
If I do my calculations right, you heard I Want to Hold Your Hand in second or third grade. How are my calculations?
You're just only slightly off.
Well, we know that.
But that's how you are.
Yes.
Normally. Or abnormal.
This is going to go this way.
It was in third grade, actually, in 1963 to 64.
It was pre-Harry Harrison. So it was either Cousin Brucey or Herb Oscar Anderson on WABC.
It was absolutely Herb Oscar Anderson at about 7:30 in the morning in January of 1964. In the wake of the assassination of the beloved President John F. Kennedy, the country was in a great funk, although everyone was being as valiant as they could be and bearing up as well as they could under the circumstances. Kennedy's assassination, followed by the televised public execution of Lee Harvey Oswald, the funeral, it devastated all of us. We were scared. I mean, you grew up in that time. And this is following the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was, again, something new for all Americans. Nothing like that had ever happened before. So as kids, we were absolutely afraid, and we certainly needed something. So on that, I do believe, snowy morning in January of 64, Herb Oscar Anderson, who was really, next to Cousin Brucey, probably my favorite DJ and that fabled AM station out of New York, the station that led the way for all others, WABC AM 77. I was standing on a little stool in the bathroom, you know, this little wooden thing, and I used to like to look at my face when I brushed my teeth in the morning so that I could wipe the toothpaste off my face. And I had my little red transistor radio positioned strategically on the sink. And I was tuned into WABC, and Herb Oscar Anderson began to make fun of a new recording that he was about to play. And he was sort of making light of the name of the band, The Beatles. And it piqued my interest because he says, well, we never really play anything from England, but here's a new recording by a group from Liverpool, England, called The Beatles. This is I Want to Hold Your Hand. And when the notes hit, Dennis, it was as though I were witness to some sort of strange new music out of the moon. I dropped my toothbrush in the sink, literally. I remember it vividly. And I just kind of stared off into space. And upon the opening chords, I Want to Hold Your Hand, my life changed forever. And that is one of the reasons why we decided to reimagine or recreate Meet the Beatles. Again, we're trying to keep alive or pay homage to the memory of a time that we all grew up in and lived in that has gone forever.
You know, it just hit me, Pat. I have, geek that I am, all of the original WABC jingles. And I think that what I'm going to start doing as I play Meet the Smithereens is I think I'm just going to hit one of those jingles before I play a track. That would be really cool.
I like that idea. I have those jingles as well. They're
a done, lot of us do. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, they're done by a company called PAMS.
PAMS. That's right, out of Dallas, Texas.
And I was fortunate during my tenure as the program director and main on-air radio voice of XM Satellite Radio's Channel 52, the unsigned channel, back in 2000, from 2000 to 2003, I believe. I have my own PAMS jingles.
So the record grew out of a festival called Abbey Road on the River in Louisville, Kentucky, and then fan emails after that, right? Yeah. So it was kind of you didn't wake up one morning and say, I think we'll make this. It really was kind of requested.
In a sense, yes. And you must remember that I am not a fan of cover versions of songs. Somehow throughout the 27-year history of the Smithereens, we have indeed found ourselves in situations where we had to do cover songs. In the early days, I enjoyed it. It was fun. But I don't enjoy doing a cover version of a song unless we can make it our own. And while the songs on Meet the Smithereens are faithful, you know, near note for note reimaginings of the original Beatle tracks, they sound like no one else but the Smithereens, which is a beautiful thing. In fact, there was a Beatles George Harrison tribute CD that we were involved in. I think it was called Living in the Material World, a tribute to the music of George Harrison. And we do a rather splendid version of a song that appeared on Revolver called I Want to Tell You. But it sounds like The Who meets the Smithereens meets the Beatles. It's pretty good. And I didn't want to have anything to do with it. It's like, you know, how can we possibly improve upon I Want to Tell You from Revolver? There's no way to do it. But somehow we made that our own as well, and that's one of the standout tracks from that disc. This is the sort of project that was just waiting to happen for 27 years. And ironically, we had never played any of this material live. We did a lot of other songs like I'm a Loser, I'll Be Back, Hard Day's Night, Ticket to Ride. We know all of that stuff.
And it is ironic that of all the labels that you made a lot of records for, which is highly appropriate given influences and passion and all of that, you made them for Capitol.
Well, there was nothing more important to us in the back of our minds collectively as a band. We wanted to be on Capitol. Capitol was founded by Johnny Mercer and some other folks back in the 40s. Les Paul was on Capitol. Louis Prima, Frank Sinatra, the Beach Boys, the Beatles, certainly, all of our heroes. And it was never lost on us. In fact, we insisted when they released the early albums on vinyl, Green Thoughts, Smithereens 11, that it was the Beatles record label that...
The Swirl.
Yeah, the Rainbow.
Oh, that's right, the Rainbow, yeah. The orange and yellow.
Yeah.
So 26 years later, you're still doing what you love to do, which is you are a, quote, professional rock and roll band singer-songwriter, which is kind of interesting in and of itself to actually have made a true career of something that most people probably would not believe is a job, is a career.
It is work. It isn't a job in the sense of a job that you hate, where you have to go to work every day. It's a grueling job in terms of the lifestyle. We spent over 10 years living on a bus 300 days a year, waking up in a different town every morning. And it was fun, but how much can you take of that? And people thought we lived a renegade lifestyle, one whereby we were totally free. Well, when a tour was booked, we knew where we'd be 9 months down the road to the minute. I'm happy that this album is doing so well, not only because of the necessity for it to enable us to continue to move forward, but because I wanted my 13-year-old daughter to see what Dad does for a living, you know, and see that we do it very well, perhaps better than most of our contemporaries, and that we still have our rock and roll heart after doing this for 27 years. I want my daughter to be proud of me and see, well, this is my dad.
How do you think things would have changed if you went with Bud and the Abbots instead of Yosemite Sam's choice?
I think things would not have fared quite as well, Dennis.
You don't? I don't know. Bud and the Abbot. That was Bud and the Abbots with Behind the Wall of Sleep.
Well, that's Dennis's sensibility. You know, Dennis would walk around with a pocket notebook and a pen, And he would jot down his ideas, and he had one notebook that was specifically dedicated to names of bands should he ever find himself in one. And there were names like Shag, Rug, and the Lost Contact Lenses, Bud and the Abbots.
Was that where Cosmic Dust came from? Was that a...
I don't know. And then the Smithereens was another name. And the Smithereens...
That made sense. Yeah. It fits the personality.
Well, it's a cool rock and roll name. It comes from the old Bugs Bunny Yosemite Sam cartoons, and that little cartoon pirate would brandish his six guns. And he'd say, "I'll blow you varmints to smithereens," and that's where it came from. But we also found out later on that the word comes from the Gaelic language, and it means many pieces of a hull. So in some weird way in which we never would have imagined, our sound is many, you know, the whole of our sound is comprised of many pieces of pop culture, of pop music, of WABC radio, songs like "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Growing up listening to the Four Seasons and the Beach Boys and the Dave Clark Five, and then listening to Cream and Black Sabbath and The Who and the Kinks, and it's, you know, the sum total of all these parts, which is all of the musical meals we ever digested, you know what I mean?
The first EP, the one with all the songs that had girls in it, is that ever going to see the light of day?
I don't know, Dennis, that it necessarily deserves to see the light of day.
Oh, but... You know,
it's a nice record. It was some of my earlier compositions. They were a staple of our live act for years, you know, at least 2 or 3 years initially. And then the style began to change as I gained more life experience and began to understand the songwriting process better. And then there are songs from that period, which were better songs that we had decided not to record. Songs like "Listen to Me, Girl," and "Time Again," and "Elaine," which wound up on later records.
So the story is pretty well known at this point, but I want my listeners to hear it from you.
Well, when I was a kid, my dad would torment me, basically, but he's the greatest guy in the world, and we were very poor, so getting records was a real treat for me. You know, I remember 1966, my mom brought me home 2 singles that I asked for, and they came out the same week. It was "Good Vibrations" by the Beach Boys and "Shapes of Things" by the Yardbirds. Groundbreaking. So I would stand around my record player and learn how to sing listening to Beach Boys and Beatles records. And one time my dad said to me, he came in and he stared at me. I said, "Son," he said, "you're really good." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You should go to Hollywood." And I finally got approval from my dad. I was like 10 years old. And I said, "Really, Dad?" He goes, "Yeah, you should go to Hollywood. The Walk would do you good." I broke his heart because I was involved in the family business. We had a couple garbage trucks, you know, back home in New Jersey. And we were up every morning at 4 a.m. starting these trucks. I was marching behind, you know, homes with a 60-gallon orange, thrifty 60 barrel, you know, picking up garbage, driving the truck, taking it to the dump, you know. When I partnered up with him, we only worked 4 days a week, so it kind of was very nice for him to have me there. And I said, "You've got me for 2 years, and if I don't like it after 2 years, I'm out. How's that?" And he said, "Yes." And after 2 years, I said, "If I don't make my move now and start a band, I'll never do it." And it's all I ever wanted to do. I was in NYU for pre-law at that great university. I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it because I thought it's what other people wanted me to be, you know, and that was a major point when I started to live for myself and get a little selfish rather than continue to do what pleased the world around me. I began to make some kind of headway. So that was the first devastating blow to my poor dad, was my leaving the family business behind to move to New York to pursue the dream of being in a rock and roll band. And there's a distinction between that and being a rock star. And we were going 5-6 years, and nothing was happening. We couldn't get any good bookings. We had gotten 3.5 stars in Rolling Stone for our indie release of Beauty and Sadness. It didn't get us a record deal. We were certainly not respected. We were at the very bottom of the pile, the bottom of the rung in New York City, in terms of everything. I mean, I've got a manila folder of rejection letters from like 4 changes of regime from every major record label, you know, including Stiff Records, who sent me a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox.
Oh, that's a disappointment, considering how much you idolized Nick Lowe and all those
guys.
Yeah,
Reckless Eric.
But
it said, "Dear Hopeful," and it says, "You have been rejected for one of the following reasons," and it was checked in a box, you know? And so anyway, my dad says, "Son, I've got to speak to you," and I said, "What is it?" And he goes, "Come home. I need to have an important conversation with you." So we sat across the table from each other at our family home in Scotch Plains, New Jersey, and my mom and dad had already been divorced by then. So dad was living alone or with his girlfriend, and he said, "Son, I want you to come back on the garbage truck." He goes, "You've given it your best. You gave it a shot. You put over 5 years into this thing," he said, "but people are starting to talk, you know. I don't want you to be a bum." He goes, "I want you to have a good life," and he goes, "I want you to come back." He goes, "You'll make a good living. You'll own the business someday." He goes, "But I want you to come back. I'm telling you to come back." And I said, "Dad, I'm not doing it." And he said, "You're going to do it." And I said, "I'm not doing it." Now, my dad, if you look up the word Sopranos in the dictionary, there's a picture of my dad next to him, at least in terms of how he looks. He's a tough guy from the John Garfield, Ernest Borgnine mold, like the kind of men, the kind of individuals that don't exist anymore, even genetically, you know, they're just not around anymore. And he's a tough guy, you know, and I still couldn't take him, you know, and he's in his 70s now. In any event, we started to cry, you know. It was a very emotional moment. I'd never had an encounter like that with my dad. Everything had been just, you know, non-confrontational and very, very nice. I said, "I'm not doing it." And I guess the lesson of the story, as I've said before, is if you have a dream, you've really got to take it to its logical end. You can't be dissuaded by anyone. No matter how traumatic it is for you, you have to continue and stay the course. And to prove the point, I guess 6 to 8 months later, we were playing Radio City Music Hall on the bill. It was either with the Pretenders or Lou Reed, probably Lou Reed. And you might have been at one of those shows. But Donna, Dennis's wife, or drummer's wife, came up to me backstage. We were in the Rockettes dressing room, of all places. And she said, did you know that your father's in the 10th row tonight? And he was singing every word to every song. And that's the beauty of it.
That's,
you know,
great.
And you just got to stick with it, which is why we're still doing it after 27 years.
Yeah, but you're doing a lot of other things. I mean, who would have thought you'd go on from Trash and Rock and Roll to heading up a channel on satellite radio and running for Senate, which is pretty amazing. And I read that your Senate campaign funds came from a kegger concert, and I believe the budget was you had $8,000, and one of your richer opponents put in something like $90 million.
Well, the guy, I was told by the people that did marketing for his campaign, one of my rivals in my unsuccessful bid for the U.S. Senate back in 2000, when I was really of a single-natured political mind, I was really upset with the way things were going. And I wanted to at least make a bid to try to change things for the better for my kid, who was at that time 6 years old. And somehow I got the endorsement of the Reform Party. And I believed in the Reform Party, in that it didn't really... It wasn't a party that cared about social issues. It was sort of a do-your-own-thing, almost like a libertarian sort of thing. You know what I mean? It wasn't too far right. It wasn't too far left. It was sort of the way most people in America live their lives. They wish to see everyone do well. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And that was the real agenda of it. And it was about basically normal, average, working Americans putting their best foot forward and running for office without being ruled or owned by the huge corporations or special interests. It was about a real party of the people, people who would serve honorably and decently and with respect toward their fellow Americans, and then leave after one term or two terms. Put your time in and go. You know, do it for the right reasons. So, I mean, I got something like 2% of the vote in Jersey for $8,000, and the guy that won, who bought the election, yet another member of Goldman Sachs elected to government, or maybe we should call it parliament now, or the monarchy, he spent $96 million. And it seems as though, sadly, and there is a sort of relationship to the perception of the music industry, if you run an independent campaign, you don't have a chance. Even if you're with the only legitimately federally recognized third party in the country, which was the Reform Party because of Perot and Jesse Ventura and so forth. But as Balzac says, and it's quoted at the beginning of the book, The Godfather, behind every great fortune there's a crime. I believed it then and I believe it now. Nobody makes that kind of money without something going really hinky somewhere down the line, unless you're very lucky.
You're still bringing the message to the people in a whole different way. I'm considering doing this. I don't know what birthday I would do it for my daughter, but it sounds like it would be too much fun. You've done over 100 living room concerts, and I'd say it's a pretty, you know, number one, it's a very unselfish thing to do because it's not like this is making you rich.
No, but it's not that unselfish. I mean, certainly it provides a decent living for me, which enables me to create more music that hopefully people derive pleasure from or gets them through the day. So it all, everything fuels itself, you know. I was working at XM Satellite, but I was also running the grants program for Jim Beam, a liquor company out of Deerfield, Illinois. And I was running a program called BEAM, which meant Benefiting Emerging Artists in Music, and it was my great honor on behalf of Beam to give away for over a period of 5 years $100,000 a year in grant monies to unsigned and emerging artists. And every year we'd give away $100,000. It was amazing, you know. Well, my kid needs guitar lessons and we're poor. Okay, here's some money. I need tires for my van to go on tour. Take it. It wasn't based on content. It wasn't based on talent. Because talent, you know, that's a very subjective thing, you know. It was based on need, which is really important. So I was honored to do that for 5 years. And I think the last year I was doing it, there was a grants finalist from Spokane, Washington, this young woman who needed money to refurbish her touring vehicle. And, you know, we liked her story. And we felt she'd be great to represent the program and the product, you know, not that there was any obligation at all. And I said, well, you're going to fix your van up, you know, your touring vehicle. Where are you going to play? What sort of venues are you playing up in Spokane? And she goes, well, I do house concerts. And I said, well, it's intriguing. What's a house concert? And she said, I network with my friends and supporters online, and I drive to their homes with my guitar, and we pass the hat, and I play my songs, and that's how I make my living. And so the entrepreneurial wheels began to spin in my brain, and I said, no one who has been lucky enough to achieve anything on a national or international level has attempted to do this or reach out to the fans or you know, meet them one-on-one. And I put the word out via a press release and via my website and the internet that I was going to do this thing. And I would say within 2 to 3 weeks, I was booked and this is in 2000, in the homes, living rooms, and backyards of at least 90 Smithereens friends and supporters all across the United States. And I crisscrossed the country on my own in a rented SUV for about 5 months, and I logged about 50,000 miles on that budget rented car. And Dennis, when I returned it to them, when I returned that vehicle to Budget with 50,000 free miles, they were not happy.
Now, if that's not enough, because you're not busy enough, you don't have enough going on, then you created Seventh Inning Stretch and let us all know that Joan Jett, George Thorogood, and Mr. Springsteen were big baseball fans.
You know, someday, Dennis, people are actually going to appreciate all these oddball projects that I do, and see that there is a method to the madness, and that the message here in virtually all the stuff that I do is really a celebration of the human spirit and the notion of don't quit, don't give up. That's the underlying theme. And put something better back into the world than you're taking out of it. You know, when I approached ESPN about my TV special, I said, I can take you out to the Olive Garden or I can get you a can of Franco American spaghetti and pop the top and put it in the microwave. Or you can sit down with me and I'll pour you a glass of wine and I'll tell you stories about the old days, and I make you a great home-cooked meal. You know, that's what the Smithereens do every night. Or, you know, I can say, here, you know, you're stupid. I'll make you stupider. I'll just feed you more garbage until you're so dumbed down that you haven't got an original thought in your head, you know, and that you become just like what you despise, you know. And when I sold this show to ESPN, when I talked my way through my presentation, I said, I'm not going to put anything back into the culture that I find reprehensible. I said, there's too much ugliness in the world, you know, and I'm not doing it. And they liked it. And I think that seventh inning stretch, my attempt to play minor league baseball at age 50, it's about a lot more than just that, you know.
PatTheNizia.com has more goodies than mankind's ever invented. I look at it kind of like an amusement park for adults at this point. So I want to let people know they can also buy this indie-length feature film, King Leisure Suit, S-O-B.
Well, no, it's actually just King Leisure, S-O-B, which means straight out of the burbs.
And see, I put the suit in there. I don't know why.
Probably I play
bad glasses.
No, it's very good that you did. I have a better insight as to how your mind works, Dennis.
Or it doesn't.
King Leisure, S-O-B, was my attempt, my flawed, very flawed attempt to make an independent feature film. And it was shot with modern cameras that kind of replicate the look of film, so it does look, it has a filmic look to it, and it's very autobiographical. A friend of mine who saw it said, this is very brave of you to do this because this is really about your life, but it's not really, you know. I'm not that guy. There's a character named Vinny Albacero, and Vinny was in a band called the Warlocks, and Vinny retired at the height of his career. 14 years later, he's broke, he's living with his mother in Jersey. There are some parallels, except for being broke, hopefully. And living with mom. I don't live with mom, you know, not yet. So anyway, Vinny attempts to reinvent himself as the angry Archie Bunker of rap. King Leisure, S-O-B. King Leisure, straight out of the burbs. And it is like a King Leisure suite in a hotel or a leisure suit. And he's angry, you know, he's mad as hell. He's like Peter Finch in Network, you know. And he's a singularly inarticulate guy who just happens to be a singer, and he's looking around. And the only thing that people are buying or listening to, even people in his own age group in the 40s, is rap. So he uses rap as a vehicle to put forth a political message. And I think it's a great movie.
And then, as if you're not really insane, Memorial Day weekend. And I usually go with my daughter to New York on Memorial Day weekend, so I'm seriously thinking about this. You actually have 3 days of picnics where pretty much the gang shows up.
I'm not at all certain that the country Western artists haven't done stuff like this, you know. But basically, I created an event. Willie Nelson did it. He did it with the friends and family picnic at Austin, except Willie did it on a big ranch that didn't belong to him.
Yeah, but this is your place.
Well, I do it in my backyard, you know,
and
we cook Italian food the old style way. And everybody that buys a ticket, if you want to come up and jam, if there's time, you bring your guitar and you jam with the band. You jam with me and Jimmy and the Thriller from the Smithereens, and we have cake, beer, and soda pop, and it's a kid-friendly thing.
This is just my little personal moment, because Time and Time Again is my song. That's the song that I just go nuts over. But every time I go to do a segue out of it, and for those who don't know what a segue is, you know, transition from song to song, my listeners pretty much know what it is. I have to pretend I'm in a bar watching the band and be ready for that ending, because I'm ready to hit the button every single damn time early.
Right.
Big trick. And then you did it last night in concert. You even came back to it as your very last riff. So you're well aware of what you're doing there, and that shows, and that was on the first record.
You know what you're talking about, that sort of trick ending, the live ending, and also studio ending, which was kind of unheard of at that time, to make an album and put an ending like that on it. That was the live ending. We just kept it. That's sort of the type of thing the Kinks would do, and we grew up listening to those records. And so back then, when we recorded, especially for you in '85, December of '85, we kept that in. You know, there's homages to virtually everything that, that we grew up listening to, including The Byrds, the riff from Feel a Whole Lot Better is on Don't Want to Lose You. It's very interesting.
You guys look like you want to see a band or something. I'm Dennis the Menace from a radio show called The Menace is Attic on KUSF. And I want to let you know that the show is being videotaped tonight. So, if the FBI is after you, put on your alternate costume immediately. Well, you probably think you know everything about this band, but you don't. I've got some quick trivia for you about the Smithereens that we learned at soundcheck today. So listen carefully because there will be prizes later in the show. Number one, Pat Denizio's real name is Frank Sinatra. It's number one. Number two, Dennis Deacon snuck into the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York 43 years ago to see the Beatles and has lived there ever since. Number three, Jim Babjack has written music for the soap opera The Guiding Light. That is true. That is really true. And bass player Severo has only one name due to a shortage of electricity the year he was born. So these are the things you need to know about this band. What is true is they're here especially for you. Get ready to meet the Smithereens. Give it up.
Had hair like Jeannie Shrimpton back in 1965. She had legs that never ended. I was happily paralyzed. She was tall and cool and pretty, and she dressed as black as coal. If she asked me to, I'd murder. I would gladly lose my soul. Now I'd like it dead. Sometimes I feel it weak. Then I dream of her behind the wall of sleep. Well, she held a bass guitar and she was playing in a band. And she stood just like the white one. Now I am her biggest fan. Now I know I'm one of the greatest. Who would like to be your friend? And I've got to find a way to let you know I'm not like them. I'd lie in bed and think of her. Sometimes I'd even weep. Then I'd dream of her behind the wall of sleep. Got your number from a friend of mine who lives in your hometown. Called you up, have a drink. Your roommate said you weren't around. Now I know I'm one of the pretty. Who would like to be your friend? And I've got to find a way to let you know I'm not like them. I'd lie in bed and think of her. Sometimes I'd even weep. And I'd dream of her behind the wall of sleep. Behind the wall of sleep. Behind the wall of sleep. Behind the wall of sleep.
Thank you very much. How are you?
Of course, we are still the Smithereens from the Garden State of New Jersey. Cheers, everybody. Good to see you. Thanks for coming tonight. Anyway, this is called Only a Memory. Jimmy starts it off.
Filled with thoughts of you, I'm thinking about the days I've cheated you. I searched the room, but you're not there. Your everything is everywhere, but it's only a memory of what our love was going to be. Only a memory, broken bits of you and me.
Thank you. We're going to carry on now with another song from Green Thoughts. Jimmy and I start this one off. It's called I Drowned in My Own Tears.
there's a light in the window that tells me you're home. I've some love in the mirror that I'll come out. The time I remember when I caught you, my memories of your kisses much sweeter than wine. Maybe I won't be afraid to love somebody new. Maybe I can open up my heart, then I won't drown in my own tears. Drown in my own tears. There's a place where we used to be every day, a time where we used to love every way. Left is the pieces of a broken heart, a glass full of emptiness since we're apart. Maybe not be afraid to love somebody new. Maybe not get open up my heart, then I won't drown my own tears. Drown in my own tears. All right.
Jimmy's going to sing one now on the new record, Meet the Smithereens, which is our reimagining and really affectionate and reverential treatment of that first all-important Beatles album, Meet the Beatles. We wanted to recreate it in our own style. And I'm very proud of the work that we did on this record. Jimmy's going to sing the song that he does vocally on the album, taking the part of George Harrison on the first George Harrison song that appeared on any Beatles album. This is Jimmy doing Don't Bother Me.
She's been gone, I don't want no one to talk to me. It's not the same, but I'm to blame, it's plain to see. So go away, leave me alone, don't bother me. I can't believe that she would leave me on my own. It's just not right when every night I'm all alone. So go away, me. I know I'll never be the same if I don't get her back again, because I know. Till she's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home until that day. Don't
don't come around, dear love, don't bother me. Till she's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home until that day. Don't come around, dear love, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me.
This one is called Time and Time Again.
One, two, three, go!
I've jumped everywhere, I've lived everywhere, trying to find someone like you. My little loves are wrong, if you know I'm not the song, how can I tell you again? Each time I take a hand, I keep thinking about the one we needed. Each step I reach, it seems to get colder, and I just don't know what to do. Time and time again. Time and time again. Time and time again. Will I ever love? I've turned everything, trying to convince you, you still got nothing to say. You won't stay with me, tell me that you must be free. Yes, I just know my own way. Anytime I take your hand, I keep thinking about knowing me. Each time I hold you, it seems to keep going, and I just don't know what to do. We'll be right back.
It was long ago, seemed like yesterday. Saw you standing in the way, then I heard you say, want to love but it comes out wrong, want to live but it don't feel love. I close my eyes and I sing blood and roses. Well, flowers in the springtime, October we were wet. Winter time, roses died, blood ran cold. Then she said, want to love but it comes out wrong. Want to live but it don't feel love. I close my eyes and sing it, blood and roses.
KUSF San Francisco. We'll be right back.
You can make the mountains red or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and he may not know why. Come on, people now. Smile on your girls and everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
God bless all of you. We're going to leave you with one last song. And we haven't recorded it yet, but we will for our new studio album in a couple months or so. And it's a sing-along, so sing along with this vocal line. Ready?
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. Ba 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 ba. When there's many other things that I could do, you broke my heart. I chose to stay, and oh, I wouldn't have it any other way. And you know I wouldn't have it any other way. I tried and tried to tell the truth for the same mistakes that I've made in my youth. You broke my heart. I chose to stay, and you know I wouldn't have it any other way. Ba da ba da ba da ba 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 ba.
Here we go.
You broke my heart, and I knew it. And I tried my best to talk my way right through it. Anytime you walk in through that door, every sad emotion, nothing more. You know I wouldn't have it any other way. Na 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 ba 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 ba.
All right, boy.
I tried and tried to tell the truth, avoid the same mistakes that I made in my youth. You broke my heart. I chose to stay, and you know I wouldn't have it any other way. And you know I wouldn't have it any other way.
One more.
And you know I wouldn't have it any other way.
One more.
Ba da ba da ba da ba 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 da da. Oh, oh, oh.
Jimmy Babjack on the guitar, the Thriller from Manila on bass. He's really from Los Angeles. Dennis Dagan on the drums. I'm Pat DiNizio. Maybe we'll see some of you tomorrow night. God bless. You guys are the greatest. Thank you.
After this is Pat DiNizio from the Smithereens. I've spent quite a bit of time recently getting to know Dennis the Menace. I kept saying to myself, I know this guy from somewhere. It's not just the music business either. And then it hit me. He's the guy who's been ringing the doorbell at my house in Scotch Plains, New Jersey at the same time every night and then running away. He's been doing that for over 20 years, and I've got the videotapes to prove it. Dennis, I won't press charges. if you'll play a Smithereens song on your radio show for the rest of your born days. And by the way, you owe me at least a dozen new doorbells. Thank you, my friend.
Wow. Okay, Pat. I'll try to make that happen. My goodness, wasn't that fun? An hour and 20 minutes almost of the Smithereens interview with Pat DiNizio, of course, and the live set, edited version of the live set from the Red Devil Lounge this past Saturday night. Coming up next week on Just Another Menace Sunday, great singer-songwriter, power pop supreme. He'll take that label, by the way. From right here in San Francisco, Danny Scheer. And we'll be back with hour number two right after we do something good. By the way, if you have any questions, any input, any thoughts on my interview or that wonderful live set by the Smithereens, please email me, Dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, Dennis@menaceattic.com, MENACEATTIC.com.
Do you know what hell is?
Homelessness in San Francisco and across the country is real and growing. The Coalition on Homelessness is a community organization committed to making tangible improvements in the lives of the homeless. Coalition goals combine short-term solutions with long-term strategies to change social and economic justice both locally and nationally. The Coalition on Homelessness welcomes your time, money, and interest, so please contact the Coalition on Homelessness at 346-3740 to find out more.
I should also let you know that a video of that entire Smithereens show at the Red Devil Lounge will be finding its way to iTunes with my collaborator, video director supreme, Jesse Block, who put that together with us. So look for that coming soon. Of course, you can go to patdinizio.com to learn more about that band. It's time for hour number two. Well, more like 40 minutes number two of this thing that I, Dennis the Menace, call Just Another Menace Sunday, all new melodic rock and roll, a la Dennis the Menace. I know him. So, Mr. Engineer, would you please hit CD number two right now?